Hey everyone, it's Luke, Libby and Dobbo Margo joining us again today, and we cross to Russia where Harley Breen is soaking up the atmosphere ahead of the big game tonight against Denmark, the Socceroos, in action in the World Cup. Also, there's been a tragedy at a funeral, and we ask you if you've had any funny experiences yourself, and Margo just about makes me throw up all over myself with a disgusting story of what she got up to. There I go. Sorry, I was just rethinking of this awful story that Margot tells about what she got up to, disgustingly enough, on the M1. Have a listen to this. It's the catch-up. It starts right now. Yeah, in fact, I'd love to hear from you if you've ever had, like, a bad experience, like something going horribly wrong at a funeral. I've actually had a couple
like someone
of them.
Dying.
Well, you know, that's one thing, but you would kind of expect that. You know, I'm talking about the unexpected because, you know, you're going to be dealing with your emotions. That, you know, you're going there for a funeral. So, you know, you're sort of, that's not exactly unexpected, but this happened just recently, a couple of days ago in Indonesia, where a man was burying his mum. I mean, talk about a sad situation. You're putting your mum to rest and they're carrying the coffin. And I don't know about you guys, but I've been a pallbearer a couple of times in my life. And that is a nerve-wracking experience.
Are they heavy?
Very sad.
They'd be heavy, yeah?
Depending on the size, but yeah, normally it's yeah.
I've never
yeah.
carried a coffin, so I'm not
it's
sure.
nothing you can't handle, though, because usually there's there's like six of you, so you're shielding the weight and that sort of stuff. But you're really conscious of the fact that you don't want to mess it up. But this happened. This guy, they were pushing it uphill for some reason, and it slipped backwards. He got crushed by his mum's coffin. I mean, it's not a funny story, but it's just like, imagine that. You're at your mum's funeral, and he gets crushed by the coffin. And
he died?
He died, Margo.
Oh, the irony.
The irony, yeah. I mean, it's just like, holy jeez. You know, but
She must have been a heavy...
Well, not necessarily.
I don't know if she was. I think it was just a horrible accident to talk about. I mean, how awful's that? This is what I've had go on at a funeral, all right, where I was, like, a couple of times I've just had weird situations at a funeral. One was for my great Auntie Sally. Now, she was a lovely lady. You wouldn't have met a nicer lady than Auntie Sal, but but towards the end there, we were only sort of seeing her on Christmas Day. And my nephews and nieces, they didn't have much association with her at all. Like, they realistically, you know, only saw her a couple of times, you know, which was on Christmas Days over the span of a few years. But at her funeral, we rock up there, and my nephew Levi, who was probably around... I reckon he was 9 or 10 at the time, and it was his first funeral. And that's always a sort of harrowing experience, isn't it? You know, the first funeral that you go to, you don't really know what you're in for. And Levi was there, and he was upset. Like, I could see he was really upset. And I bent down. I thought, oh, good on him. You know, Levi's really feeling the pain here for, you know, good old Auntie Sal. And I sit down, and I get down to his level. I put my arm around him. I say, it's all right, mate. This is even before we go into the chapel. I say, it's all right, mate. It's okay to be upset because that's what funerals are for. You know, this is what you do. This is why we have them.
Sadness is okay.
Yeah. And in a lot of ways, I was really proud of him for really actually feeling the emotion for Auntie Sel, because I didn't know he would be that close. He turns to me, he says, no, it's not that. It's just that I'm missing footy training at the moment. Then we get into the chapel. We hop into the chapel and we're looking around. I'm with my brother, I'm with his boys, and I'm with Coralie. And we're looking around and I don't recognise anyone. And then they start the actual funeral and we'd gone to the wrong chapel.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
It was a Chinese lady they were burying. And nothing to do with Auntie Sally at all.
Are you serious?
Dobbo, we had to get up, like, really rude.
And leave.
You know that little pamphlet they give you?
Yeah, that's when you worked it out.
I opened it up and it's, you know, for some lady I've never seen before in my life. But now they're in the middle of the funeral. And half the chapel got up and
How
walked
embarrassing.
Out. It was so embarrassing.
Oh, my God.
We should open the phones up. There's a few, you know, like, I reckon, even though there are... There are occasions that are very sad. Funny things can happen and bad experiences can happen at a funeral. So if you got one for us, get on the phone and give us your call. We might have been able to bribe people there, Benny. Haven't we got some good prize to give away here for a good story?
Yeah, absolutely. Tickets to Bon Jovi up for grabs for the best caller. So if you want to get involved, give us a call. Worst funeral story. We'll chat to you next.
Yeah, give us a call and we'll take those. So it's always good to have a laugh, Margo, isn't it?
Even in the time of stories.
We'll take your calls coming up next.
It's the Rush Hour, Luke, Libby and Dobbo. It's the Rush Hour this afternoon, Luke, Libby and Dobbo with Margo Parker. You can be a part of the show anytime, anything.
Yes, and a lot of people calling through with funny stories they have from funerals that they've gone to. I had another one, Dobbo, because, you know, I don't know about you, but every funeral I go to, every wedding I go to, I'm asked to either MC or do an obituary. And I once had to do an obituary for a guy. I didn't even know him. I didn't even know the guy's name. And I got asked to do the obituary on the day of the funeral.
How does that work?
The guy rings me up. He's a mate. And he goes, "Hey, mate, it's Dad's funeral today," and I thought he just wanted me to go. And I go, "Oh, mate, I'm sorry. I didn't even know he'd passed away." I said, "Oh," he goes, "Yeah, it's on at 3 o'clock. And I went, "Mate, I'll definitely be there." And he goes, "Yeah, I was hoping you'd do the obituary as well." And I had to ring my dad. I had to ring my dad, and I go, "Hey, you know such and such?" I said, you know his dad? And he goes, "Yeah." And I go, "What's his name?" And my old man tells me his name, and he says, "Why?" And I said, "Because I'm doing his bloody obituary in 3 hours' time." But anyway, Steve's given us a call. Steve, what do you got for us, mate? What happened with you?
Oh, yeah. But this one, they'd had an open casket at the funeral parlour. And anyway, so they've got there to the gravesite. They've got it out of the hearse, put it on the lowering machine, had their bits and pieces. And then they've started to lower it into the ground. Lo and behold, just as it gets almost level with the ground, a gust of wind blew the thing open because I didn't lock it down.
No way.
What happened then?
There was about 50, 60 people at this funeral. They were running, screaming, fainting. I mean, I was just a poor bystander. I had to turn away. I was pissing myself laughing.
but Steve, what happens to the body? Did the body stay in the casket, or
you know how they just open one side up when you're in the funeral parlour?
Oh, that would freak you out, mate. That would absolutely. Oh, and the whole thing gets opened up. Fair dinkum, mate. That would give me nightmares. Like, you're an old undertaker. You're used to that, mate. Imagine the kids there. Hey, that'd be worse than seeing a Freddy Krueger movie. Unbelievable. Hey, good on you, Steve.
Justin is in North Lakes. What's your story?
So when I was in, like, grade 12, I was attending my grandfather's funeral because he'd sadly passed away. And he'd remarried, and we were all the males were told to wait outside in the car park with the police escort. So as we're sitting out in the car park, we just started listening to the radio and hear the sad news that Steve Irwin had actually died.
Stealing Grandpa's thunder, was he?
He was.
Mate, Steve Irwin stealing old Grandpa's thunder. Outrageous. How dare him. Very selfish. But hey, thanks for your call, Justin. We appreciate it, mate. Good on you.
Hey, George, what happened at a funeral you were at, mate?
Yes, our local priest, I grew up in the country. Our local priest was being buried, or pastor was being buried. Sitting in the church there, someone's phone rang, mobile phone rang. His ringtone was "The Highway to Hell."
And it's for a priest.
And during the funeral.
I like that.
Spun us all out. I can tell you that, and no one was really happy.
Hang on there, George, mate. We might even fling some Bon Jovi tickets your way. You might want to go check him out, or maybe you've got someone you want to send. But there you go, mate. You're off to see Bon Jovi. They won't be doing Highway to Hell, but they've got plenty of other hits, and they'll be at Suncorp Stadium, mate, and so will you if you want to be there. Good on you, mate.
Thanks, George. Hang there, mate. This house is not for sale. 2018 Australian tour is happening. Suncorp Stadium, Thursday, December 6. Tickets on sale Friday next week. So June 29, midday, tickettech.com.au. Coming up next, we are crossing live to Russia. Harley Breen is on the ground over there, and we'll talk to him, see what sort of junket he's on, how he managed to get on that, and what the Aussies' chances are tonight against Denmark in the World Cup.
When you talk about some junkets, look, I mean, there's junkets and then there's junkets. Now, Luke, you always say, mate, you've never gone anywhere other than Tangalooma Island. But, mate, the Caltech Socceroos have dead set sent this bloke to Russia to do report on soccer. Like, I mean, if
what a junket.
What a junket. Harley Breen from Russia with love. Good afternoon and good morning.
And hello to all of you. I'll have you know I'm working very hard.
Yeah, whatever.
Not a junket. I am not a flat out.
Hey, Harley, you're over there, obviously. You know, the Socceroos are playing tonight, our time. 10 o'clock, I think, it kicks off. And we get to see it free now, by the way, which is great. But, mate, here's my question, because you're in a place called Samara in Russia, which God knows where that is. And you couldn't be further away from Australia than where you currently are. But Aussie Bogans have a way of infiltrating every corner of the earth. Are there Bogan Aussies where you are right now?
Oh, mate, a Bogan will find you. If you stand still long enough and even have the slightest Australian word come out of your mouth, a Bogan will pop out of anywhere to find you. And yesterday, that was proved absolutely correct. We were sitting in this lovely hotel where we are, in an outdoor area, having some drinks, watching one of the games. We're actually in the same hotel as the Socceroos are staying in, Samara. And two blokes, one wearing a flag cape, no surprises, and the other one took his shirt off and ran out onto the grass and started wrestling each other as the Socceroos turned back up from training in their bus. Man, I'm not sure if they felt shame or pride, but at that point, five Russian police officers descended on them, and I was like, guys, I think you've forgotten you're not in Australia anymore, because there's no fun song like going home in the back of a Divi van here in Russia.
Hey, I don't want to let you in on the big news back home, but those two blokes have been identified. One was our foreign minister and the other apparently is our treasurer. So, you know, that's the calibre of Aussies that are over there at the moment.
Harley, what are you even doing over there? Because I can't imagine that you're a massive soccer fan. So what is it that you're doing with all the fanatics over there?
I ask myself that question just about everywhere I go, to be honest with you. What exactly am I doing? I don't know if you've seen some of the videos, but at one point I've got a Celtics fanzine on and I climb into a cupboard. I mean, I'm a father of two. What's happening? This is what's happening.
What's it like over there, mate?
I'm bringing the passion and the pride of the Socceroos back to the people in Australia who unfortunately didn't get to see some of the games, and I'm glad that problem has been fixed. And to answer your question, what it's like over here, it's one of the most surprising countries that I think I've ever been to. I think we've got a lot of mixed opinions about what Russia is like back home, but of course we don't get the full story, and the surprise that I've found is the genuine and absolute warmth of the Russian people, and I've made some friendships over here that I certainly hope I maintain for the rest of my life.
What's a beer worth over there, Harley? Are they really slugging you because the World Cup's on, or is it like a cheap country to two or three?
Well, yeah, I'd say, you know, it's about on parity with Australia. You can certainly find cheaper ones, but they may be slightly on the warm side. But I don't think Russians have met a nation of people like Australia that can consume beer in the way that some of the people over here are doing. They're more of a vodka drinker.
I was going to say, we consume beer like they do vodka.
That's right.
Harley, can Australia actually win the soccer tonight against Denmark? Are they a chance?
Of course we can. You know what? Absolutely should have been a draw against France if it had gone the way that I think it should have, and certainly the Australian fans did. And this is such a cliche in sport, but on the day, there's two teams walk out there, and we are ready. We are fit. I love that I'm saying we. I'm not running out there. The fans.
Do you get to go to the game, mate, or are they sending you all the way over there to watch it on a TV somewhere?
No, absolutely, I get to go to the game, and me and the team that are producing those wonderful videos that you can see up on the Celtics Facebook page are all going in our fanzies today.
Beautiful. Unreal, mate. We'll cheer loudly, mate, because you're representing the whole country, and we want to get our boys home, mate, and keep doing us proud. We're loving these videos up on the Celtics Facebook page. A lot of fun talking to you, Harley. Enjoy yourself, mate, and we'll check in with you next time our boys are playing.
Good on you guys, and go Socceroos!
Good on you, Harley.
Good on you,
Have fun, mate.
Yep.
Xavier Rudd, he was fun when he came in. Probably needed a shower, though. It's the rush hour.
Poor, he stunk.
He did.
Lucky he was cute.
Oh, mate. No disrespect.
Did he really?
Mate. Rex owner, by the truckloads. I love the bloke, and he's got great music, but...
He's natural. He lives off the grid, so he doesn't do all of that aftershave and deodorant and stuff.
Mate, soap's natural.
Doesn't
like,
wear shoes.
I remember he was earthing that day too, wasn't he? Barefoot as well.
No.
He had Birkenstocks on.
He had Birkenstocks on.
It's basically Anyway, Luke, Libby and Dobbo here with Margot Parker.
Well, something really embarrassing happened to me the other day. I was driving up the highway. And, you know, it's been a little bit cooler this weather. And so my nose has been a little fuller than normal, been a bit congested. And because of the coldness, I've got like, I've had some like dry boogers up my nose. And normally I'd just blow it with a tissue, but I was driving and I didn't have a tissue. So I just, you know, I've got longer nails. So I just kind of poked the old nail up there just to hook it out.
You get it out?
I had one just in a spot, like right in that corner, you know,
can
and it gets stuck there.
Can you not shove your pen up your nose while you're demonstrating? No, don't.
So anyway, so I've stuck my finger up my nose and tried to pick it out. Anyway, as that's happened, I just had that feeling, you know, when you feel like somebody's watching you? Anyway, I've turned across to look over to the left, to the passenger side of my car, and there's a car sitting like in the same like spot as me on the highway going...
Was he throwing up?
Down the road, and he was staring at me, and we locked eyes whilst I had my finger in my nose.
So did you freeze?
I froze. Wow. So I had one hand on the steering wheel and one finger up my nostril, and I've like looked over and like kind of caught eyes with this guy and then looked back to the road and then like quickly pulled my hand down. But I had the boogie in my fingernail.
Oh, I'm going to throw up. Fair dinkum.
Why didn't you flick it at him?
And I was so embarrassed. I kind of like was in that moment. I was like, oh, my God, what do? He's seen me. I can't. Well, I wouldn't eat it, but I can't.
Oh!
I can't flick it.
Mate,
I can't
seriously.
Flick it. I don't want to wipe it on my jeans. Like, what do I do with it? Because if I wind down the window and flick it, which is what I probably would have done, or wiped it on a tissue or something, I couldn't because he was watching me.
Can I ask this?
Yeah.
If he hadn't have seen you,
was
there a possibility that you would have eaten it?
No, definitely not. That's disgusting.
That's disgusting.
Only my six-year-old does that. No, I would have wound down the window and just like flicked it out. You know, like you roll it in between your fingers and then you
so
flick it.
So you would have littered.
Pick, roll, flick. Isn't that?
Are you okay,
Luke?
Thing?
Luke,
you're right,
seriously, mate. What?
But I was caught in a conundrum because this guy had seen me and then I was embarrassed. So then I tried to like speed up to get like away from him, but I didn't want to go over the speed limit, so then I kind of slowed down and then he caught up with me anyway, so then I backed right off back down to 100 because I didn't want to like be in line with him, because then he was like looking at me laughing thinking it was funny and
what
I was
a shame
really
she's
embarrassed.
Off the market,
Margot, I say this with the deepest respect, but that is an absolute piggery of an act.
You never ever picked your nose
All the time,
so
but
why
I do it in the confines of my own home. And I don't do it in public for other people.
I was in the confines of my car.
Mate.
I'm not an advocate for fining people, you know, and I'm not. I actually reckon we've got too many rules in society as it is. And if they, I actually have a theory that if we introduce more rules to society, we should throw some back to the people. In other words,
Kerry.
No, yeah. I do. So in other words, you can't keep adding to rules. Yeah. So I'm an advocate for this. I'm like, you know, it's got to be more dangerous for Margot to be picking her nose as she's driving up the M1 at 110 kilometres an hour than it is for me to be on my mobile phone, for example. You know,
that's an equivalent.
Yes,
because it distracts. Like, at least when you're on the mobile phone, no one else is driving is distracted. You distracted another person driving a car. You're a flight risk on the roads.
I didn't have two hands on the steering wheel either.
Well, there you go. I hope the police are listening to this because you're going down.
Yeah. Yeah, 3 points and $150 fine for Margot for picking her nose while driving.
Yeah, that sounds fair.